I'm Afshin Ratansi. We're going underground 48 hours after Swedish prosecutors reopened their investigation into WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. We are currently waiting for a response from Britain's Crown Prosecution Service as to whether they once again contacted the Swedish government in an arguable attempt to change the course of justice in the case of the most famous publisher in the world. Coming up on the show. On NACMA Day, we speak to Ronnie Castrol, South Africa's former intelligence services minister who fought apartheid alongside Nelson Mandela, about why the new enemy of his country is neoliberalism. And backstabbing, spying, and the struggle for power from Westeros to the British Parliament with Game of Thrones' Miltos Yerolimu ahead of the show's final episode. Plus, how soon before Trump's warplanes bomb Tehran after the unprecedented deployment of the USS Abraham Lincoln to the Persian Gulf? All this and more coming up in today's Going Underground. But first, to Britain's old colony of South Africa, whose apartheid regime was sponsored by both main UK parties until the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1991, the crucial factor for ongoing Anglo-American support for an institutionalized racist nation in Africa was perceived strategic power against international communism. And while Nelson Mandela arguably sold South Africa out to the IMF, he never forgot the debt he owed to, for instance, Cuban communism when he was finally freed from 27 years of de facto UK-backed detention.
It's a very great moment for us to be president of Fidel. Because what he has done for us is difficult to put in words. Firstly, during the anti-apartheid struggle, he did not hesitate at all to give us some maximum support. And now that we are free,
y ahora que somos libres,
we have a large number of Cuban doctors here,
muchos médicos cubanos trabajando
helping
aquí,
in the rural areas,
ayudándonos en las áreas rurales,
where there are hardly
donde
any doctors at all.
Mandela and Fidel may no longer be alive, but in South Africa, a third party in elections that saw Mandela's ANC perform at its worst has now emerged, the economic freedom fighters of Julius Malema.
We want to be like Fidel because when we take over government, we want to increase the life expectancy of our people. Because in Cuba, the life expectancy is 79 years. Moli akwale salebana because there are no proper facilities to deal with curable diseases. We want to be like Cuba because 98% of those who must be in secondary and primary school, they are there.
And as the Trump war on Cuba is ratcheted up, as well as Venezuela, whose Hugo Chavez took inspiration from Mandela, we can now go to Johannesburg to speak to Ronnie Castrols, revolutionary and South Africa's former intelligence services minister. Ronnie, thanks so much for coming on the show. So what did it feel like as a revolutionary who fought UK-backed apartheid, witnessing this month's election? And what is the role of the Communist Party within the ANC when they fight elections?
25 years of transformation started extremely well, and of course have been rather difficult, especially the last 10 years of corruption that had crept in a big way. So I broke with the ANC and the Communist Party at a certain point in time because of the particular trend and the way the Communist Party tailed behind the ANC and Jacob Zuma, the previous president. And I went and I voted and I didn't have my heart in the process. A bit like, I think it's the Irish who say that when you go into the polling booth, you actually have to close your nose a little bit. I don't want to over-exaggerate. It's something of that nature of disappointment, especially for those of us who expected much more of the transformation of the outcome of the national liberation struggle, and hope for a more people-orientated approach, social democratic, if you like, but certainly to move away from the stranglehold of neoliberal global free marketism, which is causing such problems, not just for my country, South Africa, but for the whole world.
Just to make sure, you would contend that things are worse now for ordinary black people in South Africa financially and economically than they were underneath the apartheid government supported by Britain.
Okay, no, we have to be a little careful without saying that it's hunky-dory and that it's not dreadful in certain places. But there is that tendency to say, oh, well, it was better under apartheid. It was abysmal under apartheid. Remember in the first place, and I know you're talking about material conditions, but remember in the first place that black people were trodden on. Black people were refused their dignity. Black people couldn't vote at all. There is a change. It's been remarkable. At the same time, given the world economic situation and then the kleptocracy of the Zuma period, and pre to that, by the way, the country has been sliding back. And a lot of the very good programs, I was also water minister at one point, that the ANC had rolled out of building houses, providing free water and electricity to the poor, etc., had become railroaded and deviated, and the lack of a professional approach by ministers and other rogues placed by Zuma in key positions to siphon off the largesse, the funds that should have been going into infrastructure and so on, has in fact been deteriorating. But we've got to be a little careful about going overboard to too much of a degree to say, oh, well, it's worse than before. However, people live a life in which unemployment has grown, in which poverty is increasing, in which South Africa, as I'm sure you know, is the most unequal country in the world. So the have-nots who have been expecting a better life aren't looking back to, well, what was it like in apartheid?
No, I guess
they're
looking
at the wealth elsewhere, and they're expecting something better. And that's the warning to the ANC. And that's why between elections, people who in the end vote for the ANC en masse, you know, over 55, 56, 57% now, it was up to 70% under Mbeki. But even then, between elections, people, the poor, the unemployed, go out, demonstrate, they wreck infrastructure even, they're desperate to call attention to their needs for the government to solve their problems. And the problem is self-serving government and ministers who have not bothered to solve people's problems. And now the ANC, people say, has been given a second chance. It's the sixth election since 1994. So it's the sixth chance, not the second chance. Second chance for Cyril Ramaphosa, for sure.
Well, from one demographically young country to another demographically young place, today is Nakba Day. You've said that what UK-backed apartheid did wasn't as bad as what UK-backed attacks on Gaza, in effect, are. Britain, of course, selling ever more sniper rifles to Israel at the moment. And what we hear about nonstop on mainstream media and from the Israeli government, we invite the Israeli ambassador on this show. Israel says it just retaliates to Iranian-backed rocket fire from Gaza. That's all it's doing.
Oh, yes. You know, this is the language of apartheid South Africa. They also had to defend themselves against terrorism because they were occupying a people. They were dispossessing South African people of land as the Palestinians. Land has been taken and robbed, hijacked from them, all the killings, the genocide, which is incremental, ethnic cleansing, the lack of real rights by people, let alone in the occupied parts, but within Israel itself, as bad that I've seen. As bad as colonial oppression had been and horrendous under the British and the Belgians and the French, and we know genocide and bombings and mutilations and slavery, but we, for goodness sake, from the 20th into the 21st century, and because of Pax Americana and the EU, the Zionists are able to do what they wish, and they just get rewarded by Jerusalem, by the Golan Heights, and in terms of Trump's sale or bargain of the century, whatever to call it, what's going to happen next in terms of this apartheid state that's Israel. Today with the Palestinians on Nakba Day, but they have what the South Africans had. They never say die. They've got some wood. They're determined. They never give in. And theirs is a just struggle. And good luck to them. They need all our support. BDS, international solidarity.
Can I talk about that? I mean, there's an irony here. Obviously, you were banned from speaking in apartheid South Africa, arguably brutalized yourself. I understand you were banned from talking about boycott, divestment, sanctions. I mean, the Eurovision Song Contest has started in Tel Aviv. What would you say to Madonna and the BBC and the other promoters of the Eurovision Song Contest about BDS and in the context of you being banned in Europe from talking about it?
Disgraceful. And to remind them that it was BDS, that international boycott, solidarity, etc., that helped deal with apartheid, that saw the end of apartheid because it fed in to the struggle of the South African people. And the Madonnas and these artists and countries like Britain and so many others, these Latin American countries like Brazil, etc., and these East European racist countries that have been so anti-Semitic in their history, they come to Israel, whether it's for the Eurovision contest, whether it's for the siege on Gaza, whether it's to support Israel in every way, the equation of BDS with anti-Semitism or legitimate, necessary criticism of Israel as anti-Semitic, this is an absolute shame. It's a disgrace, and they will rue it one day, because there's no way that the Palestinian quest for justice, similar to the South African one, when we were called terrorists, when Thatcher termed Mandela a terrorist, that in the end, they will be forced to eat their words. And in relation to the lessons of the Second World War, of the Holocaust, and the millions and millions of others, apart from 6 million Jews, and I come from that background, that particular lesson was one for justice, one for dealing with all people with full human decency, and Zionist Israel breaks all those rules and has not learnt the real lesson of the Holocaust or the lessons of Judaism, which is do unto others as you wish them to do unto you. It's as simple as that.
Ronnie Castrils, thank you.